So, you ready, Miss Anna? Let's do our confession. I am a woman of victory, and I enjoy my new life in Christ. I walk by faith and not by sight. My mind, will, and emotions are led by the Holy Spirit. I am able to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am above and not beneath. I always triumph in every good thing. I am a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman who extends her hands to those in need. I have more than enough to furnish every good work. I do not walk in fear of man. I walk in the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I enjoy my life and mentor others to live successfully for the kingdom of God. I am well protected, provided for, and loved by God Almighty. I declare that my life is fruitful for the kingdom of God, and I will leave the legacy He ordained for me. I choose to live the life God planned for me from before the foundations of the world. I am a woman of victory, enjoying new life. Amen. It's pretty good, isn't it? You guys can have your seat. Well, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Now, the Woven Women would like to present you with a birthday present.
Thank you. I like the candles. Thank you, guys. Do you know what you gave me? You gave me a candle. Oh, that's pretty. Oh, I like that. Yeah, thank you. It says believe, right? It says believe. Good, that's gonna come in handy for today. Thank you, guys. I'll put that in my office. Well, are you laughing at me? I already have a scoffer, they're laughing. I'm just kidding. So today we're starting our first lesson in the series that we're going to be doing until our next ladies' tea. And at our ladies' tea next year, which will be in May, it's going to be the bringing out of all of it, of what we're learning so until then. And that is about God's extravagant love. So I want us to learn about how extravagantly God loves us. Not just that He loves us, but we're talking luxuriously loving us, all right? When you think of the word extravagant, that's what I think of. So we're going to get more into the meaning of that and everything. But before we can even comprehend such love and be able to receive it, we've got to prepare ourselves. So today is all about the preparation to receive. And one of the things, I did this myself the past couple of weeks. I went ahead and I did this whole process myself. Because as you go through life, things happen, right? We have experiences. We have good experiences and we have bad ones. And what happens is that many people develop behaviors and reasons why they do things in life based on some of the experiences we've had. And without realizing it, some of these experiences ends up being things that will attract the devil to us to beat us up. That's the best way I can put it. So, today what we're going to do is I'm going to teach for a part of it. I'm going to teach you these concepts of what I'm talking about. And then afterwards, we're going to clean house. If you're in an old-fashioned church, they'd call it a deliverance meeting. But if you don't want to get so complicated, we're just going to clean house, okay? And we're going to start off learning about God's love and His extravagant love for us with a palate that could actually receive it. You know, if you have a sponge that's dried up, the first time you put water on it, it kind of rolls off, doesn't it? You just have to, like, soak it in and let it sit there for a while to become sponge again. So it can be pliable again. That's what we're going to do today. Some of you ladies have been so hurt. You've been so scarred that every time you come to church or everybody that every relationship you start having, it just kind of beads up and just rolls off. And it doesn't ever get into you. Like you get no value out of it. It was just something that happened, okay? Well, it's time that we start winning, okay? And here is what, where do I start? Okay, let's go to John 14, 30. There's so much I'd like to tell you, and I'm figuring out where I want to start. John 14, 30. See, every time I teach you something, it's part of me already. Like, I'm so convinced of it that it's part of me. So when it's part of me, I have to figure out how I'm going to explain it to you so that you can get it, you know, and run with it as well. So let's go to John 14, 30. And this is Jesus talking. And he... Yeah, Anna, you can join us if you want. Don't worry about doing all that up there. Everybody's got a Bible, right? We're good? All right. Yeah, John 14, 30, it says, this is Jesus talking, and he says, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the Amplified says, the evil genius and ruler. Do you know, actually, that the word genius is a word that demons use to call the devil? They call him their genius. It's actually a word that the demonic, and I can't go into all of it, but it's what the demonic realm uses to speak of Satan, their master. They call him the genius. So ever since I learned that, I stopped calling my son a genius, because basically I'm calling him Satan in the demonic world. So I just tell him he's really smart instead of calling him a genius. So anyway, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, or ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. This is a very important thing I want you to realize. So if you have to underline it or whatever you want to do, this is a very important part of what we're teaching today. And he has no claim on me. Here's what the Amplified says. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. Do you see this? So Jesus knew that the devil was coming after him. But he said that he has no claim on me. If you know of the story of Jesus when he was crucified, the Bible tells us that he freely gave himself. He wasn't murdered. He actually freely gave himself to be crucified for you and me. Because if it was a forced thing, then he would have done it unwillingly. And there would have been no results of his action, because the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, that's when you eat the good of the land. So Jesus would have totally disregarded that scripture if he had done this, where the devil could actually come find something in him. See, so here's the key, ladies. If the devil can find nothing in common with us that's in us, then he has no power over us in that thing. See what I'm saying? So what's the opposite? The opposite is this. If the devil comes to attack us and finds something in us that is in common with him, then he has power over us in that thing. Now, Jesus made a show of the devil openly, right? We know that from the scriptures. He overcame him, and he made a show of him openly. Jesus won our victory. So as a believer of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, you are already standing in a position of victory. However, the only way the devil can have access to any area of your life is if he has something in common with it. So he cannot have access to eternal life for you because he has nothing in common with life. So if you have Jesus as your Savior and the blood of Jesus has been washed your heart, has been accepted by you, his sacrifice and all that, then when the devil comes to you, he can't overpower you in that. Okay, because you have the blood of Jesus that's secure, that's okay. However, there might be things that have occurred in your life that if you didn't take care of it, the devil has planted seeds in you that he comes after to fight with you about so he can overpower you. You get what I'm saying? So let's go home. No. Okay, so here's how I want to explain this to you. Go to Psalm 27 and verse 1. So this text, John 14:30, is a very important one for you to know. Okay? Psalm 27, verse 1. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation as I'm speaking, that you're going to even get more out of this than what I'm saying or how much I can say. I want you to get enlightenment from God, the Holy Spirit, and no other spirit. Actually, let's do this right now. I'm going to declare this, and you agree if you want to. It's up to you. But listen, I just spoke this out. I heard a testimony yesterday on a Christian television program. This man was being interviewed, and he was from Africa, and he was in the occult. And he was explaining to these women, it was a group of women he was having a roundtable discussion with, and he was explaining how the fortune tellers and psychics and all these folks, how they operate, because he did it. And he said, what happens is Christians will go to them, and they know that the Christian will never accept Satan, okay, as a master. So they'll never use the word Satan. They'll say master. They'll say my master and all this. And they have the Bible right there. They'll have a Bible right there. That's what they did to him. They had a Bible. But here's something he said that I caught. He said what happens is the little crystal ball and all that stuff they have, it's a distraction. What they tell you in the beginning is this: let us just be quiet. He said, and so they tell you about this crystal ball. What you're doing with the crystal ball is you are being distracted. They just need you to be distracted while they have their demon hook up with your spirit man. Listen to me very carefully. Our spirit man, okay, when we get born again, for one thing, it's our spirit man that gets recreated, all right? The Bible tells us that the future things belong to the Lord. The devil doesn't know the future. But because your spirit man calls out to the Spirit of God, deep calls onto deep, things about your life have been deposited in your spirit man that you don't even know yet. Like it hasn't been revealed to you yet in your mind for you to comprehend. You understand what I'm saying? So these demons are trying to connect with your spirit, spirit with spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all about the spiritual realm. So what they're doing when they try to get you quiet, they're trying to connect and pull out of your spirit what's in it, what's been deposited for your future. That's why they can tell you a couple things. But they can definitely see what happened in the past because it already happened. So what I'm saying is this, my prayer today, I just listened to this yesterday, and I realized this, I thought, my goodness, this is amazing. So what I declare today is, no other spirit has permission to access my spirit except the Holy Spirit. So we're going to declare that. Father, we declare right now that no other spirit accesses our spirit. We give permission only to the Holy Spirit. And we're serving notice to the spirit realm. Our spirit man is locked down from giving any information to any demon spirit. Only the Holy Spirit and God Himself has access to my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Do you see how important that is? Teach your kids that, because when they watch certain things, when they go to certain events, you know, whatever, they could be, these demons are around waiting to access things. Because see, our kids today are very much interested in the supernatural. This gentleman that was talking, he was a pastor's kid. His parents were pastors. But here was the problem, he said. They did not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, so they had no power. There was no supernatural power operating in their life. So he was looking for supernatural power, and the devil showed up with his. So if you're living in a house and you don't believe in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you are opening up the door for evil to come in and show supernatural power to your children. They want it. I don't know why people have a problem with the Holy Spirit. The only person who has a problem with the Holy Spirit is the devil, because that's the power that was left on earth to beat him up and to give us authority and power to actually operate in gifts. We're doing the teaching on the gifts on Wednesday nights. If you don't know much about it, this is the time to come learn about it. I'm telling you, I taught this last Wednesday and I explained, if you came on planet Earth and you didn't know how to read or write or do math or nothing, and you have never read through the Bible, let me tell you something. If you've never read through the Bible, but you've read another book in your lifetime, you're doing yourself a complete injustice. Because it's the Bible that holds the keys for why you're on earth. It's the Bible that gives you the tools for why, how you can operate here. And it's the Holy Spirit and his gifts that empowers you to actually fulfill why you came. If you can't accept those things, then what are we doing on earth? Nothing. We're doing nothing for the kingdom but just sliding along and working to the agendas of our culture, whatever the culture decides. By this age, you should have that. By this age, you do. That's what happens. But if you can't say you've read through the Bible, but you've read about 50 books in your life, there's something majorly wrong with the thinking here. So ladies, if you've done that, change the thinking. Pick up the Bible and start reading through it. It's not complicated and it's not hard. The Holy Spirit is who gives us wisdom. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what the Bible is talking about, especially for your own life. Okay, so let's go to Psalm 27 and verse 1. And here's what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I want you to take note of the word light and salvation. Okay, whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, if we can boldly say this, we can declare that the Lord is the one who is our light, right? So we have light and we have salvation and we have stronghold, right? And refuge. And that equals no fear. Do you think you can win a battle where you have no fear? Did David win a battle where he had no fear? Now, so if for any reason there's something in your life that scares you, there are certain types of people, certain relationships, certain phobias, certain capabilities, certain skill levels that you have a fear about, in that area of your life, there is no light. Okay? There's a stronghold that's not God, because you can't find refuge in it. See, with God, you feel safe and secure. It's a refuge. But if you feel insecure, which is a word psychologists love because that's how they get business. Forgive me, Lord, I'm not against psychologists. There are some that are really working for you. Insecurities. Okay? So we're going to talk, so let's think, there are insecurities that you have. You know you have them. Because they were brought on by people and experiences. All right? Now let's go home. No. I'll give you some scriptures to write down. We won't go to all. I have about 300 scriptures. We're not going to get to 300 scriptures today. Do Psalm 119, 105, where the Bible says that your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Let's go to John 1, 1. Okay, John chapter 1 and verse 1. So Psalm 119, 105 says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, okay? And I want to show you something about the word. John 1, 1, it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the word. In my Bible, it says Christ. And the word was with God, and the word was God himself. And he was present originally with God. And all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Do you see why I told you if you haven't read through the Bible, you really like haven't started doing what you're supposed to do yet really on earth? Because you can't know what it is until you get the word in you. Because God didn't even make anything without the word. So what do you think you're doing if you don't have to? I mean, really, honestly. There's no life that you can make on earth without the word. It is the word that's going to do that, all right? Here's what I want you to see, that the word, according to John 1, 1, is Jesus. Do we all agree that the word came in as flesh on earth to dwell among us? So the word is Jesus. So Psalm 119, 105 says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So Jesus is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I want to show you the inference of Jesus and the light being the same thing here, okay? Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And verse 2. Now, it's the amplified version of the Bible that says it the way I'm about to read it, but I want to show you something. But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. The Son of Righteousness here is talking about Jesus. Okay? Verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Everybody there? Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. I want to make sure everybody's there so you can see this. It says, but unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams. Now, beams here is referring to light. Okay, you know of a beam of light. All right? And you shall go forth and gambol like calves released from the stall and leap for joy. Does that sound like something that was locked up got released? Yes, and it's because the Son of Righteousness, who is Jesus, comes with healing in his wings and a beam, right? And because of that, you can be free. You can be free to move around, okay? Now, one is we're talking salvation. Everybody knows about salvation. Jesus came and he brought salvation. But also from him we get light. Here's what I want to explain to you. When you have had the experience of being born again, the blood of Jesus has washed away sins. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Correct. Okay. Now we all know that we have man has a spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we're all clear on that. Today we're going to deal with the soul. Your spirit man is made brand new through salvation. 100% brand new, recreated, born again. To the point, it is so incredibly in tune with God, your spirit, that your spirit knows things about your future that you don't know yet. That's why the psychics and all them want to hook up with you, because they know your spirit's telling you stuff that they would like to know. If you read the Bible through, you will discover the verse that says, deep calls unto deep. It is the Spirit of God that calls to your spirit. If you can connect with that, if you can meditate on that, if you can pray that out, that Father, I thank you that your deep, your spirit calls to my spirit, then you can have things revealed to you about your future that nobody could tell you. You don't have to go see psychic and whoever else. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have a clue. They're trying to get it from you. They're getting your information from you. So tell me, couldn't you get your own information from you? Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that we have the mind of Christ? Yes. Now your soul deals with your spirit, your soul deals with your mind, your will, and your emotions. So I want you to recognize this. Your soul, okay, it deals with your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay, mind, will, and emotions. Now, here's what I want you to realize. If your emotions can get touched, it affects your will power for things. It affects your will to want to do something and to not want to do something. Am I right? And your will has an influence on your mind, because your mind is made up about certain things. You have certain mindsets about things. And what you don't realize it is that it was all connected to an emotional experience that occurred to you. And I believe it's even more for women. So, the Bible tells us that the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He doesn't laugh because he doesn't know what to do. You know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, you just laugh. I don't know what to do. No. When the Lord laughs, it has to do about the kings and stuff they're planning and deciding whether he just sits up there and laughs, because he is sitting in a position of complete authority and power. So he gets to laugh. That's an emotion, wouldn't you say? Okay. We need to get to the place where we can sit in our seat of position in Christ and laugh. Laugh at situations where things are being plotted against us by the devil, and not laugh from being nervous that you don't know what to do. Okay? So let's talk about the soul. I want to show you something that is going, this is the part I want you to get. Every time you sin, it wounds your soul. It has darkness comes into your soul. Every time you sin. When you become born again, the opportunity for sinning does exist all over, and you do fall and sin sometimes, correct? And you got these black holes in your, they're not holes, they're scars. They're black, okay? They're darkness. That means there's no light going there. So whatever the sin was that you committed in that particular area of life, you have darkness. Therefore, you have no power over the devil if he comes to attack you there. Now, would the devil come to attack you somewhere that you have power? Even as dumb as he is, he knows enough then to do that. The sin that was involved a demon from his kingdom, so they know that you have done the sin. This is an easy fix. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sins. So what I want you to do is the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you things that you might not have repented of. For a Christian, when we commit a sin, we need to repent. Okay? We don't need to get caught and now say we're sorry. We need to actually repent. King David repented when he was given the story about the guy who murdered and then committed adultery and all this nonsense he did. He repented. So if the Holy Spirit is showing you an area in your life where you have sinned, you need to repent. Okay? When you repent, that area becomes brand new. All right? Do we all agree? So therefore, if you have repented of sin, the devil cannot come attack you there because it's no longer there. So he has nothing in you. Correct? Now, there's the other thing that we pay no attention to and don't realize. This is where the devil gets us every time. But no more for me, buddy. I did some house cleaning, I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit took me back all the way to my childhood and reminded me of things that I forgot. See, here's the thing. You have to let the Holy Spirit do it. Don't go talk to somebody and try to get them to drum up all their past and all this nonsense. That's not what it is about. The Holy Spirit, again, no other spirit has access to my spirit but the Holy Spirit. We've already declared that. So it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring to your remembrance things. He knows what's in the soul and what's happening there. And he knows how much you can handle at one time. So he's not going to overwhelm you with all this. You're going to feel like such a loser. Uh-uh. You're going to feel free when this occurs. So here's where the devil gets Christians all the time. And even before you became a Christian, it might have happened. But see, I think mainly it's after you become a believer, because you're born again, you're all brand new and everything, and you're brand new. But then, here's where it comes. If anyone has ever sinned against you, it causes a wound in your soul. Anyone that's ever sinned against you, those cause wounds. It depends how long you've been living, man. You got a lot, possibly. Okay? Wouldn't it be great to know how to get rid of them? Because we know the blood of Jesus will get rid of what we do. But what do you do about what people do? You know what I'm saying? So let me give you some possibilities here, because you're thinking, well, you know, I pretty forgive people. Okay. If someone were to hit me on my body, even though they didn't break a bone, there's no damage that makes me have to go to the hospital, there's no surgery needed, my body for a period of time is still going to be bruised. The blood is going to go there. My body is going to do functions to go protect this area. All right? And if it's a cut or an infection, the body actually creates a casing around that area so the infection doesn't go everywhere else in your system, correct? When you get hit and wounded by people for emotionally wounded, you end up putting a shell around that thing so that the rest of you don't get hurt. In the world system, they call it building up walls, whatever, whatever. And you'll know what the area is because whenever it's hit, you become defensive. Whenever it's touched emotionally, you become defensive. Your emotions have a defense mechanism attached to each one of these. Okay? which will cause your will to have certain standards that you have set up based on these wounds in your soul. Do you see how ungodly that is? All right, now because your will is then set up as a standard based on this, your mind is not able to receive the word of God that could renew it properly against the wound. Because you're not willing, your will is not going with this. You understand what I'm saying? So I could teach you all I want to teach you about renewing the mind. And the Bible actually says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But your spirit man will do so much, but your will comes into play as to what's accepted and what's rejected. It really does. So how do we get rid of these black dots? But here's why it's dangerous to have these. Remember John 14:30? See, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus had no darkness in him. So when the evil genius of this world comes against him, he has no power over him because he has nothing in him. So if the more you're carrying, so this is why the same problems are coming into your life and you're never overcoming them. Because you have wounds, and every part there's a wound, it's darkness. The light can't get to it. So revelation light isn't getting to it. The light of God is not, it can't penetrate into you. See, the entrance of the word brings light. But if you've got a wound in there, it separates certain parts of you. So other areas are getting flooded with light, but there are these areas that you're constantly battling. Your whole life you've been battling with them. There are some that have been passed down. Here's the thing. Go with me to Ezekiel 18:20. I want to show you something. You learned something? Ezekiel 18:20. Go at Ezekiel 18:2 first. Let's look at verse 2 real quick. It says, "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." Okay? That's a proverb that they use, means that the sins of your fathers come on the children. All right? "As I live, says the Lord God, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel." So God's saying that's no longer a valid proverb. All right. Go to verse 20 of that same chapter. "The soul that sins, it is the one that shall die. The son shall not bear and be punished." See how it says the soul that sins? Okay. "The son shall not bear and be punished for the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear and be punished for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him only, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon the wicked only. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does all that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and he shall not die. None of his transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, for his righteousness which he has executed for his moral law that he should live." Okay, because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what it goes down to say. Verse 24, "But if the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? None of his righteousness deeds which he had done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die." So basically what this is showing is, it's no longer that if your daddy sinned, that means all that sin gets dumped on you and you're doomed. okay? It's every man for his own, himself when it comes to this issue of sin. Here is the trick of the enemy to get you to have the same soul wounds of your forefathers. When they have not yet overcome the wounds, they pass it on to you through explaining the family line. And you take on their offense. So we never hang out with the Joneses because this is what they did to your daddy, and this is what they did, and this is what they did. So now when you hear all this bad stuff that somebody did to your family, you start feeling that pain, right? And you just take on a wound that never had to be passed down to you. You see what I'm saying? Divorce. If your parents got divorced and you are getting ready to get married, the devil is going to try to bring them in, one of them, to explain to you the damage that was done in their divorce. You now will have a wound about marriage and about men or women, okay? So you now have darkened the spot of love for a husband. And guess what happens a few years later with you? You get a divorce. Because you entertained and entered that into that agreement with your soul, agreeing with their pain and their wound. Okay? Those are some of the ways. It's not always the ways. But according to the Bible in Ezekiel now, every man, his own righteousness and his own sin is what he's responsible for. It doesn't have to be what the fathers did. But you could see how the devil will try to propagate it through your generation, and they're called familiar spirits that come, that visit each generation to try to get you to buy into the death of the previous one. If he can find darkness in you, he can overcome you. But if he can't, he'll never win. Okay? So what gets rid of these wounds? It is, we read it in Malachi 4:2. It is the light of Jesus. John 1:4 talks about this. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Then it goes on to John. But listen, the light of Jesus is like a laser beam that can erase, eradicate, and remove all those scars and those dark areas of the soul. It is only the light of Jesus that can overpower that darkness. It is not the enlightenment of the mind. It is not the meditating of some syllable somebody gave you to boo. Not, that brings more darkness into you. Okay? It's only the light of Jesus that can eradicate the wounds of the soul. So what are some of the things that could cause a wound? Let's just examine this for a minute. You understand what I'm saying about what erases it? We're all clear on that. I don't have to go into 50 million scriptures, which I do have, by the way. But think about it. As a little girl, if you were ever told you're awful at something, I can guarantee you, you got rejection in you. So it's not just that one thing now that you have a problem with. It's so difficult for you to overcome a lot of other things. And here's what happens when you do show up somewhere and you don't get rejected first because they want you there. See, the devil always wants to humiliate you in life. So he'll suck you in and you'll start rising to the top, and then you start feeling rejection. Sometimes you don't even, nobody's rejecting you, you just feel things. Nobody has said anything rejecting to you, but you picked it up. Why? Because it's a spirit. They have it too. But they didn't do it to you, but you're picking it up. And if you have a dark spot in your soul for it, it overcomes you every time. And you cannot overcome it. It can show up in any area of your life. In your marriage, it can show up. And what you start doing is that because you have this in you for so long, your body, your mind has developed a wall around it. So when somebody hits that, think about the spewing gases that come out of that baby. The emotions that spill out. You understand what I'm saying? Think about the reaction that it's getting there. The older you get with it, the worse the response is. And then it causes other damages. It just doesn't stay there and bombard. It adds more to it. It builds. You got a colony of rejection dark spots. And then what ends up happening is, see, the Bible tells us that we should go from glory to glory, right? But what happens is when we have all these dark things happening in our soul, we end up... people start getting worse. Like their spiritual life is just like their mental ability. You realize a lot of people, their mind just goes nuts. They have nervous breakdowns and all this nonsense. It's because of this. Christians having nervous breakdowns. The life of God was missing in some area of the life of your life. That's where a nervous breakdown would show up. You can only handle so much. So I had a lot of cleaning out to do myself. I'm not teaching you something that, I got a squeaky clean soul. You realize when we came here, all the things that, you know, people injured me so much, the perfect accusations against me and things like that. And I realized those injured my soul. So I had to do some cleaning, house cleaning myself. The reason I'm teaching you this, I heard this teaching on a program I was watching, and when the person started talking about it, it just like, the Holy Spirit just illuminated it to me. And I went deeper into what was, you know, on a program you can only tell so much. But I just went into it and started doing research and realizing, oh my God. And that specific day, the next day, I started praying and asking the Lord, and this is what we'll do today. I started asking for the light of Jesus to flood my soul and eliminate the dark areas that have no life going to it. And the Holy Spirit started bringing to my remembrance things that I needed to take care of. So I would specifically then say, I put the light of Jesus on this. I put the light of Jesus on that. And it's like it totally took it away. It's like, if I try to remember what it was that he took away, it's like a faint, like when you erase something and there's just like a hint of it. I probably just remember them to know that they were there and they're gone, so I could tell people it actually works. But really, it doesn't affect me. Here's something great too. When you're going somewhere that you might possibly encounter something that will try to overpower you, that you have a dark spot in your soul for that you didn't know and you didn't take care of yet, okay? You might end up getting a dream where you are like you go back to your past, or, you know, like something from your past is happening and you're being beat up or whatever, whatever. If you start having those dreams now, when you wake up, just start saying, I want the light of Jesus to come and hit that spot. Don't like take it like, oh, I wonder what this, just like take care of it right away. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal, the Lord will reveal things to you now. So when that happens, you just take care of it. You just like I had a dream. I woke up early this morning and then I went back to sleep because it was way early. I said, I'm not getting up this early. I'll be too tired when it's time to teach women. And I went back to sleep for about 2 hours and had this dream. I was just like, I woke up and my heart was beating so fast. Like, I felt like I was having a heart attack. I really did. And these people, I was isolated somewhere. I was in a place, and then all of a sudden, I'm in another place by myself. And I know I had my cell phone. And I realized I could hear, I could sense there's danger. Even though I was alone, there was nobody there, but I could sense there's danger. So I took my cell phone out to call Pastor Doug, because I knew I was just with him. I was just with him. And I could feel this thing. I could feel it in the dream. I'm standing there like somebody's coming behind you to put on something on you and put a hood over your face. So I'm physically feeling this thing coming up my back, and these men in suits appear, but they look like they've been traveling for a while, like they're all raveled, you know. And the one guy is like, they're trying to get to me because like I'm advancing on, and says to me, oh, don't bother trying to get help because nobody can help you now. Nobody's going to hear you. And immediately I start praying in tongues. And that's when I woke up. And I'm thinking, what on earth? But you know what the Lord revealed to me? That there's probably a part in me that I never took care of and shed the light of Jesus when it comes to men not liking me. Men not being able to receive from me. And these were like men in suits, you know, businessmen. But they've been there for a while, apparently. They look like they've been traveling for a long distance. And I physically felt that hood coming up behind me. You better believe I was doing some rebuking and some blood covering and all this stuff. And that I took care of that this morning. I said, well, if it's there, it's gone, honey. Do you see? But for women, you might have that issue where you felt like men overpowered you in some way and they took advantage of whatever. That's an area that God needs to clear up with his light, the light of Jesus. If you've ever had a divorce, you definitely have a wound there. Rejection, whatever, not good enough. Why couldn't he do that for me like he did for the other? Whatever. Okay, if you've ever had an abortion, there's a dark spot. For that, you would need to repent if you never repented. Just repent. Let the blood of Jesus take care of that. And then ask Jesus to shed his light on that wound in your soul for that loss. If you've ever had a loss, if somebody died in your life and you don't understand why, and you know, when traumatic events happen in our life, if we're not careful, we could have a wound from it. That's where the light of Jesus can come in and take care of that. Whatever it is, if you've lost things, you know, if your marriage is horrible, then you're living daily with rejection. You're living daily with never meeting up to somebody's standard, or why can't they do this, whatever. All that stuff, that means you're never able to win. You see what I'm saying? That's what it means. It means that when that evil demon rears its head against you, it has something in you, so you never win. It's this cycle that keeps going over and over again. Well, we don't have to live like that in life. That's unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. And the true test is when you can be in the presence of people who have done this wounding to you and you don't even have a hint of that damage. There's nothing, you're not responding to, there's no response in that remembrance. And I actually had that happen to me. And I thought, when I just did this whole thing, I was in the company of somebody who really, it was just a couple days old, really, what they did. And I thought, I never thought about it. I never thought, well, let me see if it works. You know, I knew I was going to see the person the next day or whatever. And I thought to myself, wow. And they didn't even respond as if there was no guilt in them. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have this funny awkwardness about being around me. I thought, that stuff works like it never happened. It was like it never happened. And I didn't feel hurt that they were pretending like it never happened. You know, when you try to do this by your own willpower, all you're doing is you're trying to be like, Lord, I'm going to forgive and forget. I'm just going to forgive and forget. And I'm just going to go. And then when they are responding to you, what you just confessed, which means like it never happened, you get mad. Well, look at them. They're just pretending like they didn't just bulldoze me with their words and smack me over the head. That means it didn't work. It's totally, you're trying to get your willpower to work this through. We don't got to do it anymore that way. Jesus got a big old eraser in the form of a light, his light, that can laser them suckers right out of your soul. I don't care how deep it goes, because they can get deep. He can erase those things. We can have souls that are so clean that we could say, like Jesus, he has nothing in me. And this particular woman that was explaining her testimony, she was a meth dealer. And so she came out of that lifestyle. She got radically saved, healed, delivered, all this, right? And but she went, oh, this is another thing. Like, the Lord will reveal things to you so you can take care of issues, so you can be have power where you are, okay? But she was ministering. She's a minister. And she was getting ready to go somewhere to minister. And the night before she was going, she dreamt that she was back at her meth lab making meth and like doing what she did before. And she woke up and she's thinking, Lord, it's been years since, you know, I've done this. What is this? And then she realized, the Holy Spirit revealed to her, there's still something in her that's a wound from her behavior in the past that wasn't totally healed. So she took care of it. So here's what happened to her the next day. When she goes to the place that she's going to preach, she walks in and she smells the smell of meth. So she said to the pastor, do you smell that? Like, he said, oh, we don't really smell it. We know what this place used to be. And she said, well, this is, she said, he said, this used to be a meth lab. But she picked up on it. But here's what the great thing is. She was able to overcome the demons that still hung out there because she had nothing in her of them. So the Lord revealed it to her so that she could take care of herself. So when she go to minister to the people, these demons aren't overpowering her and make her look like a big total fool. Another example she gave was she was going another place to preach in another state. And she, as soon as she landed in the airport, she got sick. She got a sore throat. She felt a fever, 104 degree temperature. I mean, she just got sick. Well, she said normally, before that, you know, she'd rebuke the sickness and say, you know, I command sickness. And said, that's great and all, right? Okay, the handle, it'll work for like whatever. But she knew it was something else. So she said, I got to go back to my hotel. I need some time. I mean, they were like really concerned about it. They're going to take her to the hospital. She was like, her temperature just like shot up. As soon as she landed at the airport, she got back to her room and started praying and say, Lord, I need, you know, Holy Spirit, show me what. And here the Lord showed her something in her that she never took care of that had identity with the reigning principalities in the area. And what this does is when we have something in common with the devil of where we are, that gives the devil access to come into our life and wreak whatever havoc he wants. And that's what happened to her. Sickness just came on her like that because she had something in common with the principality of that area. Because you understand, the devil is not omnipresent. Only God is. So he has set up principalities and powers and rulers that they're over certain regions and certain areas. So sometimes you might go out of town or go somewhere, and if you start feeling something's happening, there's an attack on you or your body, stop right then and ask the Holy Spirit, what's in me that the devil could identify with? You see what I'm saying? So this is going to take you on for the rest of your life. Wherever you go, if you start seeing that you're like losing every time, that means there's something you didn't win. There's something still in you that the devil is winning over you all the time. See what I'm saying? And for many of you too, it might be like in your hometown and stuff. If you've moved away, you know, you're living. Like you find a lot of people, they move. I just had to leave my hometown. Yeah, because you had a lot in common with all them demons that were reigning over there. So they leave. But before long, because the devil had access in other areas, the place they live in now become a place where they don't win either. So you can't just run away and think it's okay. It'll last for a little while, but those same things will come back. And all the devil wants is a little entrance. And then he'll just weave like a worm his way around in your life. See what I'm saying, ladies? So we've got a half an hour, and here's what I want us to do. I'm going to play some music, and we're going to pray. And I want you to take whatever part of the sanctuary you want to go. And I want you and God to have a conversation. Take some tissues with you because you're probably going to bawl. And that is quite all right. And we're going to do some house cleaning. And you're going to get stuff out of you that's been lodged in there for years. And it's not going to be all done today. I'm just getting the process started. But the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to you. I mean, it took me like 3 days. I'd be driving, I'm remembering. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh. Okay? And just have an open heart before God. We've already discussed that no other spirit has access to our spirit, and that's already definite. Only the Holy Spirit. And repent where the Lord shows you need to repent, and ask the light of God to come into your soul and illuminate that darkness and erase it where it needs to go. And watch what God will start doing in your life. You're going to forgive like butter. Because it can't light. It can't stick to you. You're going to be so hot with the power of God that the devil's stuff can't stick to you. It's going to melt off. And as you keep going through life and having experiences, you're going to have to do this. Just do it. Just say, oh, that rubbed wrong, and there's something in me that's still residue. It's got to come out. Okay? And I'm not telling you you're demon-possessed or you have any of this deal. I'm telling you that the devil has access to your soul through these areas, and he's working it from whatever angle he can get it. All right? So, we're going to do this. And does anybody have questions before we do this? Is everybody perfectly clear on what I'm talking about? Did any of you get revelation yet from God showing you stuff that he wants to take care of? Yes. I know rejection is a huge one. I think everybody should have a rejection cleansing. But he'll isolate specific incidents of where it happened so you can get rid of those incidents. That's a laser, that's fine-tuned work. All right? So wherever you want to be in the sanctuary, it's still early.
Stepped out.